Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, dirty. I'm going to jump right into it, man. I'll say this. I don't know if there is anybody in the city who has defended Uncle Dusty as much as I have, and that is the manager of the Houston Astros.
Making it hard Dusty, on you, show.
Dusty Baker. No, I don't think there's anybody who has defended Dusty. I've said it. I thought he was the perfect. We both said it. That was a perfect guy for the job. Baby, I can't defend you. I can't defend you now. Now, I will say, I don't know how much of it is his fault in terms of I didn't think Dusty was going. I would have never said Dusty was the right guy for the job if he had to manage an up-and-coming team, a team that just kind of started playing in the big leagues. The way these guys are playing, the mistakes they're making, this doesn't look like a veteran team. And that's what I thought that Dusty was taking over. That's one of the reasons why I thought he was a perfect fit. But this group obviously needs more care than just let these veterans go and play the game, because they routinely now make mistakes like they've never played baseball before.
Well, I don't think it was a mistake initially, to think that Dusty Baker was a good fit for the Houston Astros. A lot has changed since then, including you get to see the game time decisions. You get to see the situational baseball. You get to see game time management decisions made, and from there you adjust accordingly. I think we were very accurate and are very accurate in the sense of Dusty's resume in terms of dealing with COVID-19, dealing with the fallout of the sign stealing scandal. I mean, he's a good fit for the Houston Astros for those reasons. That don't mean that you don't evaluate the job that a guy's doing as the season starts to unfold. And look, I think he's been dealt a rough hand. He's been dealt a hand that some would say is unfair. You know, losing so many guys, having to manage so many young guys. But it's getting to a point now to where that can't be the excuse. You can't look at everything that happens every night and go, well, Osuna's out, Verlander's out. Nah, man, there's some situational baseball that is being mismanaged consistently. And show, and anybody that listens to our show consistently knows, I don't need to agree with the play call. But when there's clearly not a plan, or there's clearly situations that haven't been discussed that are as elementary as you could imagine, don't give me the whole, man, they miss spring training, or man, they're young. Like, that's not an excuse.
None of them are young.
That's just not an excuse, show, for what we keep seeing. I mean, like, I get it. Altuve's a veteran. He's struggling. Man on second and extra innings, and there's zero attempt to push the ball the opposite direction. Should Altuve know that?
Should he have not run into that out yesterday?
Yeah,
Josh Reddick, another veteran, stop running into outs?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
And we'll get to Drew Stubbs' ass in a second.
There's a lot of things, man, that we can sit here and go, man, veterans should know better. But, look here, man, the best coach that I've ever been around in a sense of covering details was Bill Parcells. And when I spent a week with Bill Parcells, it didn't take me long to go, I understand why this guy has an advantage in every game that he goes into from a coach's perspective. Hell, he flips every stone. He flips every stone every day. The basic things aren't going to get overlooked, and the most detailed situations, game situations, won't get overlooked. And so I've been on a team where it was the worst. Situational football was never discussed. Details were never discussed. And I've been on a team where in a locker room with a coaching staff that took the time to do it, it's blatantly obvious that Dusty Baker has no plan, good, bad, or indifferent when situations arise in games. There's been no conversations, whether it's a veteran like Altuve who plays every day, about the current situation right now. There's no conversation when you go, hey, Stubbs, I'm going to pinch run for Maldonado with a one-run lead. There's been no conversation of, hey, man, don't make the last out at home. Hey, man,
yeah, but
don't get caught stealing third.
Dusty's defense. You shouldn't have to have that conversation with a 27-year-old.
Yes, you should.
No, you shouldn't.
Yes, you should.
You shouldn't have to have that conversation with somebody. Clint, I would chew my 6-year-old son out right now. Little show, if you ever tried to make the last out, I would chew his ass out. That's what he should know that.
I agree. Altuve should know to push the ball to right field. Altuve should know to how to get out of his slump and at least give an effort other than swinging out of your shoes. I don't disagree that the players, the experienced Major League Baseball players should know better. But damn it, a coach should be covering those things. Pinch run. I don't care in that situation. Is it fair to say that it might be a good idea to go, hey, man, we're not going to get real aggressive on the base pass right now. I'm going to put you out there because you're faster than Maldonado, which I don't agree with that decision either, but we'll get to that later on. But I'm going to put you out there. We're not going to take risk. We're not going to round second and try to stretch to third on a base hit if there's any doubt. We're not going to get to second and then make the last out at home plate. We're not going to do those. Like, just have that conversation.
I bet the first base
at some coach, point in time.
I bet
so.
The
Come
first
on,
base
man.
Coach hitting with a, hey, let's be smart. But like I bet he did. But I'll say this. I think in those cases we're talking about it, like the Astros have been horrible in situational hitting, horrible in just situational stuff in general. And then you have people like Drew Stubbs who just went rogue and just did whatever hell it is that he wanted to do last night. Because nobody should have to tell. I'm sorry. I want to say nobody should have to tell Drew Stubbs not to steal on third. Nobody should have to tell Drew Stubbs that. Now, the other stuff, maybe I get with you. But that one is definitely – that's why Dusty looked at him crazy. Here was Dusty last night explaining how mystified he was with the base running and Drew Stubbs in particular last night.
We messed up on the base. We're not running the bases very well. You know, we got to improve big time on our base running because, you know, we're running into out. Tough to take. It's kind of a recurring nightmare that's happening to us, you know, in the eighth. And, you know, with Altuve up, runner on first and second, the guy just walked two guys. I talked to Stubbs after the game and asked him, where is he going? And he said, you know, the guy was slow to the plate and he thought he could steal third. And I said, well, that's a base running mistake because he already is in scoring position. You know, ran ourselves out of that inning.
No, I'm serious, Clint. I'm serious. To you, Tyler, everyone listening, what do you think Drew Stubbs was thinking as he was standing at second base right before he took off? What do you think he was thinking? I would love to know what he was thinking as he was taking his lead and he took off. I'm going to be a hero. Is that what he was thinking? What was he thinking to possess him to take off?
I'd like to think there was some gal dancing on the dugout or something that had him that was doing the old toe touch or something with the old stiff legs.
And I got to get closer.
And got him shook up. He said, I got to get a little closer.
Well, there was nobody else in the stadium because there's no fans.
On a serious note, man, like what Dusty just said, like it's not rock. I mean, at this point in time, anybody watching Astros knows, man, like base running is struggling. It's a nightmare, Dusty just said. Like, if that's the case, that's even more of a reason that you should have said something, man. And I agree with you that a grown man, Major League Baseball player, I would know I ain't played baseball since 12th grade over at Robert E. Lee High School over here. And I would know in that situation, stealing third ain't an option. I don't give a damn if you're Miles Straw and you got Olympic speed in the 60. I don't care. Yes. You are not stretching with a one-run lead late in the game. We're not stretching. We're not going from first to third and taking that risk unless you know for sure you got it. You're not going from second to home unless you know for sure it's a stand-up, run-through-the-bag type of moment. You shouldn't have to be told that. But how many of these kinds of mistakes that you and I sit here and go, man, that's elementary. At some point, you got – like, how many of those have to happen before we go, damn it, discussing some of this
and
stuff?
And it is on Dusty. Ultimately, it is on Dusty. If you're the manager of the team – and your team keeps making mental mistakes, it is on you. I'm just saying, if you thought you had a team, because the way the Astros players are playing and the decisions they make, it seems like a young, up-and-coming team that is really just getting experience playing in the big leagues. That's what it looks like. It looks like a bunch of young guys, and I think you hire certain managers to manage those group of guys. And I think Dusty, you hired Dusty. All right, I'm gonna have him manage personalities. I'm gonna have him handle tough things. But this is a veteran laden team, and this is a group that can make that's to me is the issue. But it all ultimately falls on his plate if your team keeps making mistakes like this. I love this from the text line 281. Stubbs must be related to J.R. Smith. Yes, LeBron is the smartest guy. This is one of the smartest basketball players to ever play. And a fantastic human, by the way. But one of the smartest. When JR did that, there's nothing you could say. There's no conversation. You don't have to have a conversation with JR. When you get a rebound and you're standing right there and you're down by one, just put it back in. He dribbled it out. There's no conversation you should have before that. He's played basketball his whole life. Just like Drew Stubbs, who was sitting there, I believe, taking his lead, Clint saying, I got to be a hero for my team. I got to do this. If I get to third, which does nothing because I'm already in scoring position, but if I get to third, woo, maybe it's a wild throw and we get it. Like, I'm going to be aggressive for my team. And then he went rogue and did something no one does in baseball. But ultimately, you're right. It falls on Dusty because that's your team.
Look, when it's not about a pile on Dusty situation right here. And I'm not completely out on Dusty. I'm just curious to how many times we're going to sit here and go, that should have been discussed, that should have been covered, that there should be a plan before we quit talking about injuries. And before we quit talking about he's been dealt a difficult hand. That's right. That's true. Bill O'Brien was dealt a difficult hand. He's got a receiver in Will Fuller that can't stay on the field more than 10 games, and J.J. Watt ain't finished more than 8 games in three of the last 4 seasons. That's a tough-ass hand. But we don't sit there and go, oh, well, yeah, but, man.
Well, Bill would be getting crushed.
Oh, getting crushed. Yeah. I mean, it's
and
like
many of y'all out there in our profession and other stuff, y'all done going out there and rolled Bill O'Brien to the ground. You should be doing, like, yeah, if you're right, you should be doing that about Dusty. Isn't it crazy? Like, the stuff that's happening with Dusty, Bill has that stranglehold. Like, that's culture stuff, what's happening with Dusty. Just guys going rogue, doing just unexplainable things. You got a coach going rogue, going crazy, and starting fights. Those are culture things that don't happen to Bill O'Brien, but you're right. Bill would be crushed.
And when those kind of things happen, Show, it's like all the things you just mentioned with just the little things. That's how you lose a game 7-6 in the bottom of the 10th. That's how you lose games in extra innings consistently when you got a runner on second and you can't get the little things done to get him across the plate. Whether you think it's a guy that needs to swing away and hope you can score from second because he's fast enough, or I'm a small ball guy, I would bunt him over. Regardless of what you think, like, the reason that you can't get things done, a big reason why things don't get done in those types of situations are because the little things on a daily basis are left unanswered, right? Like you said, they're not. It's, I don't know if it's a culture necessarily as much as it is just a manager having his finger on the pulse of the team, the dugout, the clubhouse. It's getting frustrating to watch the Astros just piss down their leg consistently when they don't give me the injury of Osuna and Verlander. I get that. Over a 60-game stretch and in the playoffs, that's going to hurt the Astros. But not like this, show. Not like this, man. I went to bed last night with a damn four-run damn lead, thinking I could get some shut-eye after mowing the damn yard, sweating my ass off, and I wake up to an Astros loss. Okay, come guys, on, man.
Clint wants you to know he mowed the lawn last night.
And I installed a damn light in the hallway.
Just let it all out, guys. Good Lord. I had to switch over to Moesha after they gave that
to Moesha.
Yeah, I had to switch
hold on, so.
Had to find something else to do with my time.
Dusty really had you pissed off, didn't he?
I apologize. I got so mad at Garrett Stubbs, I called that man Drew a couple of times. Sorry about that. All right, Clint, I got a question for you and the people. What will it take? What do you have to see for you to start to believe in good old Timmy Kelly, the offensive coordinator for the Texans? We'll get into that coming up next.
They didn't bunt. We didn't bunt. You know, nobody bunted.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, one of the great things you can use, and I was actually listening to this on the radio.com app, me and Tyler, T-Mill, nope, can't do it. Me and Tyler were listening to it on the radio.com app in our office room as we were preparing for the show. You could even use radio.com rewind to listen back to it. Clint was on In the Loop earlier talking to the guys about Tim Kelly and the offensive coordinator. And the thing that really jumped out to me is they asked you your buy-in level, your belief level on Tim Kelly. And you said, yeah, that guy, you said it's at a 6. And I wasn't shocked because we've talked about it. But I'm curious from you, Clint, what do you need to see? What do you need to see from this Texans offense to make yourself say, okay, I'm bought in? And how long do you think it'll take?
Well, I think one thing we've already seen, and that's Bill O'Brien hand over publicly, take the podium at the combine and hand the keys over, the play calling duty keys over to Tim Kelly. I think that's a big statement for Bill O'Brien. We all know Bill O'Brien's a control freak. We all know that he's an offensive minded head coach. He's always called plays. He's tried to give it away to George Gotsi in the past, and it didn't work out. It was a failure, and so he took the play calling back over. So him to just make that move gives me confidence that at least Tim Kelly's capable of being a play caller at the NFL level with the Texans. When I look at what I need to see, I think the one thing we know at this point in time, I've been in the room and heard Bill O'Brien say, we got to play faster. We got to play with tempo. And this was after Tim Kelly was tabbed as the play caller now. Not as the offensive coordinator last year, after Tim Kelly was tabbed as the play caller at the combine publicly. I've heard him say that. So I know in his mind he believes that they've got to play faster. So first and foremost, I've got to see tempo. I've got to see in the first game of the season, if it were me, it would be in the first drive of the season, some kind of tempo implemented in what the Texans do. The fabric of the Texans offense needs to include tempo. It needs to be a weapon that the Texans use consistently to attack defenses. It doesn't need to be one thing in the playbook that when a defense tells you you can use it, then you go use it. It can't be that. It's got to be something that the Texans bring to every battle every Sunday, and they lean heavily on it. Teams fear it. To me, that's the one thing that's very elementary, very simple, football 101, that everybody in this fan base, when you see that, that right there tells you that not only is Tim Kelly running the show, Bill O'Brien trusts him, and Tim Kelly is somewhat, we don't know to what extent yet, but is to somewhat different than Bill O'Brien, because we all know Bill O'Brien very, very rarely used tempo last year. And there's plenty of room to improve this year. And if it does happen, you got to give that to Tim Kelly.
713-572-4610. What is it that you need to see for you to buy in to Tim Kelly as the new offensive coordinator? What it is, 713-572-4610. I want to hear from you because, Clint, you have him at a 6. Man, I'm and Tim Kelly as the offensive coordinator, I got him at a 4. But I do believe this offense will take a step because the thing that I'm excited about is I think that in conversations all week long, I think on Sundays, I think in terms of play calling, I think Deshaun Watson will be able to body Tim Kelly into doing what it is more that he wants to do.
As opposed to years past.
So I think the influence of Deshaun Watson is what really makes me more comfortable because I think this offense will work and move in more what Deshaun wants to do.
That's part of my confidence as well, Show. I mean, that's my confidence is at a 6. It's above 5, which is tinkering negative. I'm at least – I have a positive outlook on it right now. I really do. And I think you hit a big part of it is the relationship between Tim Kelly and Deshaun Watson. It should be one where Deshaun Watson's the alpha in the room. You think Troy Aikman wasn't alpha in the room when every offensive coordinator had?
I'm sure you watched it.
I watched it with my own eyes. After I was in Dallas, I went to Miami with who's my man that was in Carolina recently. Cam had a good year underneath him.
Oh, North Turner.
North Turner. I was in Miami with Norv Turner, and I love Norv, but Norv ain't gonna tell eight. He ain't gonna tell Troy Aikman. Nah, man. I mean, Troy was the alpha in this relationship with the Texans and how the quarterback is handled with the Texans. He needs to be the alpha in the room. Deshaun Watson has earned the right to be the alpha in the room. The best case scenario in any situation is the quarterback to be the alpha in the room. And when it's all said and done, I do believe that's a big part of why I have confidence in Tim Kelly is because he is going to allow that to happen. He is going to allow that to happen. That the way that the quarterback is handled with Tim Kelly and TJ Yates and Deshaun Watson is definitely the alpha in the room. And the process Monday through Sunday is streamlined in a way that it wasn't last year. Deshaun Watson, I can honestly say this year, from a coaching standpoint, from a Monday through Sunday, how things are handled, the atmosphere in the quarterback room, it's the dynamic in the quarterback room. Things are set up in Houston today for Deshaun Watson to have success.
Especially when Deshaun gets paid, there's going to be a new feeling also walking up in that room when I'm making the most on the team in this franchise. This is my group. Not only have I earned it, my paycheck says this ought to be mine. And then with that paycheck comes pressure. And I think Deshaun is looking at Lamar and looking at Pat Mahomes and saying, well, shoot, I'm going to go down on my ship. Yeah. We're going to go down on me, and I'm going to do more. 713-572-4610. What is it that you will need to see to really have a buy-in to new offensive coordinator, new play caller, Tim Kelly? And someone on the text line took the words out of my mouth from the 979, a little bit towards what you're saying with tempo and pace, need to see aggressiveness. For me, Clint, it'll need to be the first three games of the season because I won't be tricked by one game because we do know the history of the Texans is their Patriot-like and their game plan, right? The game plan offense. Yeah. So I'm not going to be tricked that maybe the first game plan offense is to really be aggressive against the Chiefs. I need to see the first three games of the season, and I need to see a change in thought process of pound it down. I mean, we are going full blast aggressiveness. We are trying to score touchdowns every time. We are trying to take the top off the defense. And I need to see it multiple games to show me that it's not like, oh, no, that's just what we saw from the Chiefs. No, I want to see it against the Chiefs. I want to get to see it against the Ravens. And I want to see it against whoever that is, the Vikings, the Packers, whoever that is, that crazy first seven. I want to see it against three opponents to say, nope, this is their offense, not the game plan offense.
So I agree with you guys and the texture. I agree from a standpoint of this is an offense that has to be aggressive. One thing that I'd like to see that we didn't discuss was the quarterback run involved early in the game. You don't have to give them a 10-15 carry dose of it every single game, but you got to establish the quarterback run early in the game in order to do different things to counterpunch off of it. You've got to establish that. That's one thing that I would expect to see in the first quarter of the very first game, along with some tempo. But there's the aggressive mindset. I agree with you, Show. It's got to be there. That's what the Texans. That's how they should approach every game, is we're going to score 50 on these cats.
That's what I'm talking about.
Kansas City may go out and score 10. They may have struggled against the Titans, but their mentality going at every game is we're going to hang half a 100.
No, I've listened to Pat say, yep, I'm trying to score a touchdown
that's
every
it.
Single
and,
time.
And that's what the Texans should do. But to your point, Show, of the aggressive, over-the-top stuff, the Texans can do that. Bill O'Brien can scheme up some shots. Deshaun Watson can throw some shots. The problem is the mid-range game and the consistency in the mid-range game and being really good at the mid-range game, handling pressure when teams bring pressure, all that underneath mid-range game stuff is where the Texans need to make the most improvement. But the aggressive approach to offensive football absolutely needs to be the mindset.
Yes, that has to be. If they got to be sitting there. If we didn't score 30 tonight, something went wrong. We need to look back at what the hell happened. Not 21.
You can't have three of the top 10 since 20. Was it 2016?
Yeah.
Three of the top 10 receivers in the league right now, in terms of yards per touchdown catch, and everybody on the list had to have 15 or more touchdowns. You can't have three of the top 10 guys on that list and not be super aggressive.
Will Fuller, Kenny Stills, and Brandon Cooks were all three on that list. So yeah, they should be aggressive. That's what I would want to see in multiple games for me to start to really buy in the new offense. A huge decision came down by the NFL late last night that should affect the Texans in a positive way. We'll get into that coming up next.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome. Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
We talked about this briefly yesterday, Clint, but this was a big, potentially big news for all teams in the National Football League, which means the Texans as well, is the NFL took the ban off of allowing players that are free agents to be able to go and work out at facilities of other potential teams that could look at them. So before, there was a ban that you know Everson Griffin couldn't come out to Houston to work for the Texans and work out for the Texans. It just had to be afar. The only thing they were allowing was recently they would allow players to come in and take physicals. As you saw with Brandon Marshall, who the Texans brought in, the linebacker, last week. Now they have taken that ban off so players and teams can do it. We've already seen it. Mike Daniels was able to go visit Cincinnati, and then they went ahead and scooped him up and signed him last night. So that's been a product of it. So this is a big thing with the Texans having almost $21 million under the cap. This is something where there are pieces out there, Clint, that they could add to really help them to get to where they want to get.
Yeah, you talk about the $21 million in cap space as of right now. Watson's obviously, his contract is going to obviously impact that 2020 cap space. I don't think it would impact that to the tune of $21 million.
No.
And if it were, I would believe that Deshaun Watson would be willing to be flexible with where his money's allocated. Is it this year? Is it next year? Is it 4 years down the road? I would imagine that if the plan was to make room for signing a veteran free agent that would help this team win ball games in 2020, I would think that Deshaun would be flexible in doing so. So when you say all those things, when you put all those things together, free agents can now work out. There's a $21 million worth of cap space that the Texans have right this second. I got to believe that some of that's going to go to Watson, but not necessarily all of it. And I got to believe Watson would be flexible in helping the team sign the right people if the right people were available. Who's out there? That's a legit possibility. We briefly mentioned them yesterday. These guys, they have to make the most sense for the Texans. The Texans have, they spent a ton of money on the offensive side of the football. I think there's $120 million of salary over there and salary cap over there. 80-something million on the defense is what I read today. So there's a big difference between the two. So when I look at it, I go, man, you got to be set on offense, right? I mean, you got to be set on offense. There's outside of creating some depth, I just don't see where a splash sign even makes sense,
they
right?
They seem to have depth everywhere on offense.
So the legit possibilities are going to be guys on the defensive side of the football. And you look at what the Texans could use. I don't know that they necessarily need any of these veterans in terms of a pass rusher or a safety, but they could damn sure use a couple of these guys to take their ability to scheme and be creative to the next level, take their ability to play without J.J. Watt, God forbid that happen, if it ever were to happen, to the next level if they were forced into a situation where J.J. didn't play all 16 games. These are the four names. Logan Ryan, big fan of Logan Ryan. We've discussed Logan Ryan multiple times. He's a guy that had 6.5 sacks last year. I believe he had 4 interceptions last year as well. Definitely a hybrid safety corner type of player, so he could help you in a pinch at either position. His agent right now is marketing him to NFL teams after the marketing him as a corner, wanting upwards of $10 million a year. That didn't work, so now they're marketing him as a safety.
Like almost poor man's Jamal Adams in terms of his ability to do things. 6 sacks coming off the edge that can blitz really well,
yeah,
and can cover and do a lot of things.
Yeah, and a guy that's not scared to stick his nose in there against the run at the safety position, guy that knows, we don't know exactly what Anthony Weaver's going to do, but you got to believe that there's a little bit of Mike Vrabel, there's a little bit of Romeo Crennel in there, considering he's been around those guys, and they've all been in the Romeo Crennel tree in some way, shape, or form. So Logan Ryan should be familiar with what the hell's going on.
I want to reiterate, I said 3 pours. Poor man's Jamal.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to reiterate that. I don't want you to think I'm calling. Shoulda just called Logan Ryan Jamal Adams. No,
he's
no, no.
more of poor, a box safety.
Poor yeah. man.
He's a former corner that can play safety, that is very comfortable in the box. I shouldn't say he's a box safety. He's not a box safety. He should be.
He's comfortable and can blitz 6.5 sacks. That had to have been maybe 2nd on the team.
Right. And so that's a guy to me that just for so many reasons makes, unless he just at this point has still priced himself out of the market and the Texans look at it and go, no way in hell, you got to think that Logan Ryan would be, golly, I look at the Texans show, that Logan Ryan makes even more sense. Eric Murray is a guy that they're going to pay $6, $7 million a year. The jury's still out on him. Nobody knows what the Texans saw on him to pay him that kind of money over 3 years, I believe. Logan Ryan would be a guy that wouldn't necessarily need to replace him. He would be a guy that would complement him. He would be able to be a star defender. He could be a corner in a pinch. He could be insurance if Eric Reed did fall on his face in terms of being a starter. Logan Ryan just makes more sense the more I talk about it.
Yeah, he does. He could bring in Eric Murray. Yeah, he could be. He's another guy that we've talked about that is an answer that you know what you're getting from him. There are so many key pieces on this Texans defense that are hopes and ifs.
Here's the deal. Is our question with the Texans defense right now, who is the 2020 Jahlil Adai, right? Who is that third safety that is a hybrid safety that can play in the box, that can cover – anybody outside of a number one receiver in a pinch, he can cover that guy. Who is that guy on this team? We're not sure because, hell, the battle is the safety next to Justin Reed. Who's the one? Who's the Tayshawn Gibson going to be this year for the Houston Texans? They still ain't figured that out. So a Logan Ryan would be a guy that would give you that third safety to either start or to be that Jahlil Adai type of player. Now, if the money don't make sense and he's asking for too much money to be a Jahlil Adai type of player, then maybe it doesn't fit for the Texans. But I got to believe that the longer he sits out there and the longer the Texans do not fill that void, or let's say purchase that insurance policy at that safety position, you got to think that they're at least flirting with each other the longer this goes on. So Logan Ryan, to me, I think he's a good player. I think he'd be a great fit. And the more we talk about it, I just think, is Lonnie Johnson going to be next year's?
Another if.
I mean, is Lonnie Johnson going to be last year's Jahlil Adai?
Maybe. These are maybes.
They're all
that's
maybes.
What I'm saying. They're maybes. You know what you're getting for the most part out of Logan Ryan.
Yeah, and Eric Reed, obviously, Justin Reed's brother's another safety out there that's been linked to the Texans. The article I read yesterday on CBS Sports had him linked to the Texans. I don't know, man. I think he's limited Very good tackler. If you needed an in the box safety, very good tackler. But boy, he is literally will be targeted by Kansas City. Kansas City will go, huh, Eric Reed's on the field. Yeah, I'm coming right at him. And so you would have to really work to disguise and hide him from Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid, and as you mentioned, Kirk Cousins and that crew will go get him. So Eric Reed, outsider looking in, Logan Ryan would be the safety. Hey, the pass rushers, I'd love Everson Griffin. I know you like Everson Griffin, Show.
Oh, I love him. I think he's a perfect fit here. It's too good a fit, Show. And it won't cost a lot.
It's too good a fit for it to make. He's got to be wanting 3-4 years, right?
And then from what we don't know yet, but from what it's been on the street, what you hear is it's more of who has a good chance to advance in the playoffs, and he doesn't, and he's not looking for necessarily long term, that's why he's been linked to the Texans and Seattle and Green Bay. Those are the three teams that I've heard right. Everson Griffin's name with.
Everson Griffin's a guy that out of the defenders that you obviously know, Clowney's not an option. As much as I would love to see it. I would love to see Bill O'Brien swallow his ego, swallow his pride, and go back to that 1 year well with Jadeveon Clowney. We all know that's not going to happen. That ship has sailed. The other two is Everson Griffin and Clay Matthews. And I love Clay Matthews. I love Clay Matthews. He had eight and a half sacks last year with the L.A. Rams. But if I had to pick, it would be Everson Griffin.
Yeah.
I would love Show to go Everson Griffin at the end position.
Yes.
Slide J.J. Watt inside next to Blacklock and get Whitney Mercilus coming off the edge with Jacob Martin coming off the edge. I mean,
he can play the run, and he can rush the passer still. Just 32.
Yep.
A down year, 8 sacks for him last year. I think he would be a great, great fit. And his production, he's a productive player when he plays. His production, man, I think that is a player, much like Logan Ryan, that takes this defense to a, there's a potential guy who can make plays on his own. There's a potential guy that you can put out there that's not necessarily dependent on other players. That's why I love Everson Griffin.
Yeah.
And they need to make a run at him.
Right. Everson's a guy, too. Griffin's a guy, too, that I believe, if again, knock on wood, if J.J. Watt were to not finish the season, with Everson Griffin out there, you've still got a guy that you've got to – that's going to garner some attention, right, that you know of. You hope Blacklock's that guy. You hope Charles Amenahu is that guy. You know, you hope Jacob Martin is a guy that, even though he's a hybrid backer, I think he's just too small to be an every down linebacker in this league with the Houston Tech. I just think he's too small, but he can definitely contribute. Man, Everson Griffin and Clay Matthews give you two guys, one or the other, that man, defense is just really, they got to know where they're at and what they're up to. And they're on the market, man. I would love for one of those two guys to end up in a Texas uniform.
713-572, what do you think about some of these guys we've brought up now that the NFL has lifted its ban on allowing players that are free agents to come into other teams' facilities? This from the text line, and this almost just lit me up, but I had to really grab myself and calm down. Everson Griffin would take reps from our young defensive line. That would be a bad move. Hey, folks, where are we at here? What are we doing here? Are we trying? Like, so everything I've heard is, I'm tired of winning the division. I'm tired of losing in the playoffs. I want to go to the Super Bowl. And now we're talking about taking reps from young players when you could bring in a guy who could get you to what? Maybe you're on your own. But what? Don't sign someone because you want reps for Jake Martin?
Hey, you want Jacob Martin, Charles Amenahu, Blacklock, and Grenard. You want those guys to grow up real quick? Bring in some veteran competition on a one-year deal and say, hey, if this cat balls out, we're going to sign him for 3 or 4 more.
I just want to understand the expectation. I thought I had an understanding of the expectation level of the fan base of being tired of. That's a let's win the division move. Right?
Yes.
Like, or hell, really, be frank. That's a let's hope we win the division move. We're up at, like, we're building.
Yes.
Like, I thought this sucker was, from the fans' perspective, this sucker was built.
Yes.
Let's go. So
then, I agree.
Let's add to.
I agree with you. I agree that would be a move of, like, oh, we're going to be patient. We're going to be patient, hope he's rookies, hope we hit on one of these rookies. Yeah, no, I mean, if there's guys out there that will allow this team right now today that's on paper to get better, particularly on the defensive side of the football at the two positions, safety and edge rusher, whether it's a defensive end or an outside linebacker, either one, if you can add a piece that not depth, not just a guy that just helps this team survive, but a guy that truly, if he plays up to his ability and what you've seen on paper and what you've seen on film, if he can play up to that ability, he takes this defense to another level. Logan Ryan is a guy that if he comes in and you get 6 sacks and 4 interceptions out of him or anywhere close, and he's on, that impact is huge. That impact is big time. And so that's the kind of guy that I'm discussing. Hell, I ain't talking about the backup, you know, guard center that they might sign that may or may not make the team. I'm talking about guys you bring in here and they got a damn roster spot.
And I'll say this, Clint. If Everson Griffin gets to be on the field with J.J. Watt, Everson Griffin's getting double-digit sacks. He's a guy that finishes. It ain't just about pressure. If he gets to play with all the attention on J.J. Watt and he gets to get one-on-ones, Everson Griffin is winning one-on-ones against good tackles in this league. That's what I'm talking about. You know already if J.J. Watt's on the field that's where the attention is going. And if you're going to say, man, we're going to have to leave our left or our right tackle alone on Everson Griffin, he's going to win a lot of those battles. And now I'm trying to figure out who the hell's blocking Whitney.
Yeah.
You know, that's a move, and you can do it, and you can pay for it. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Because you talked about Deshaun and the money. Dude, Deshaun's, the money he's going to get up front is going to come from a signing bonus, which won't have anything to do with the cap. Like, they could make his cap hit that, or they could do what a lot of teams do. Like Mahomes got a good signing bonus. A lot of that, even the $10 million he got as a signing bonus, not coming out of the cap. Like, his cap hit isn't. When Aaron Donald signed his big deal, his cap hit that first year was like $2 million. But he got like $60 million as a signing bonus.
Right.
So that $21 million with Deshaun shouldn't be more than $15 million if he signs a deal and they take the way they can structure it. Because it's long-term and they can push more.
They can move
back.
It around, yeah.
Yes. That one, they should have $15, $16 million even if they sign Deshaun there. And if you're telling me, which Bill said, we're trying to win, baby. We're trying to get further than we did last year. If you're telling me that, then there are players out there that can help your defense right now. I think you got to make a move.
Yeah, with that kind of, I guess the you know, with Deshaun's deal is if they wanted to soften the blow on the back end moving forward, they could front load it with some cash immediately, and they've got it right now. It was just my point was it was an option, but I agree with you, man. And I think Deshaun Watson, I mean, look, he understands where they're at, man. He understands that they're really close to being a true contender for this. He may think they are a contender, but I, the way I look at it is like they're really close to being a contender in this league, and
Deshaun gets 40 up front, he will give it to him.
Yeah, well, the point is that I think he would be flexible either way it goes. If you say, hey Deshaun, look, we're gonna push 5 or 10 of a signing bonus to later, you know, next year. We're just gonna defer it to next year, and that's gonna allow us to go out and get Everson Griffin or Clay Matthews or Logan Ryan. Then I would think that Deshaun Watson would be all in on that.
Yeah, he would be. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Clint, in some news here at the NFL, Travis Kelce just threw a party wherever he is, and I know he's going through a breakup, man. This will make you feel better. 49ers are signing all-pro tight end George Kittle to a 6-year, $94.8 million, 16 a year contract extension, and he's going to get a guarantee of nearly $50 million, $25 million signing bonus. That's George Kittle just went and signed a long-term deal with the Niners. As I said, Travis Kelce is probably celebrating in his house and doing it. It just, because that means next year Travis Kelce is going to get paid.
Yeah,
he may not get that, but he's going to get paid.
George Kittle is disputing that. Y'all believe everything you read on the internet, huh? And he retweeted that $94.8 million contract extension. He will get paid, Joe. He will get paid, and that is precisely. When I told you, I don't know how many months ago it was, that I feel like the 49ers are going to be a team to fall off this year. You can't
pay a
with
tight end.
The way they're built, and I love George Kittle. I think he's a great player. You can't pay a tight end $100 million. You can't pay a tight end $16 million a year. And I understand that the salary cap is what – you can't pay a tight end $16 million. You can't pay him that a year, show. Mm. I mean, that you get – not
like,
with
that's
what
like
I,
running backs.
Not with – yeah, right.
Well, no, Kittle's not special enough to give – because you, no, would it, you pay a wide receiver? Would you pay a big-time wide receiver that? And for them, George Kittle, you could argue George Kittle is that.
No, look, there's no argument that George Kittle is the – hell, I think he's the most valuable player on that offense. In their scheme and what they do, you can have Jimmy Garoppolo. And what they do, Kittle's the one – and hell, what's the fullback's name? They got a fullback that
I can't pronounce it.
It's not – I almost said Jurassic, but it's something like that.
Jurassic.
Anyway, they I mean, they really use their hybrid players well, and Kittle is a guy that helps you and with it literally should never come off the field on the offensive side of the ball. But you can't. I just don't believe that. I believe that defenses are going to catch up with their offense, what they were doing last year, as quick as people are going to catch up with what Baltimore was doing with Lamar Jackson. They better have answers, and I don't see where the 49ers have answers outside of the run game. I just don't see where you have answers to offset a tight end making $16 million currently in-house.
Yeah, Dove Kleiman says he stands by his report.
There you have it.
George Kittle's contract.
We'll see.
So we'll see about that. All right, coming up, the stories that you need to know, Houston, the Big 3 at 3 coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.